Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present.
First item tonight is the consent agenda, and the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask any time on the consent agenda to be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. Tonight we have six items on the consent agenda. Is there any citizen request or commission request?
No. Okay. I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carry.
Our next item of business is hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items. Do we have anyone here that wishes to address the commission? I see a hand. Oh, Ron. Yes, please.
No, I'm Ron. Ron Crozier, 1121 Crozier Press. Just to let you know, on the 29th of July, we had the new monument go in place at 2 o'clock. We had about 50 people there. It was a good program, and so on and so forth. And probably in a couple weeks, we'll have the bases of the monument put in place and it'll be secured. The other thing that I want to bring attention is that we have is the dog issues in the park. People have been letting their dogs poop in the monument, poop on flowers, poop in the bushes. And my wife and I, myself, are tired of picking it up. We have, I think, code violations because there's signs for, you know, no pooping in the park, basically. You know, dogs are supposed to be on the leash and so on and so forth. And I think it needs to be addressed. I know there was an event last weekend, last Thursday. I was down there getting it ready for the weekend, and there was none of it then. As of yesterday, there was some after the weekend. If people can't take care of their dog waste, then they shouldn't be allowed in the park. And I think it needs to be addressed with the commission, the city, and something to be done. Because my wife and I spend a lot of time down at the memorial, you know, where we're doing something else. And if people have lack of consideration for that, I guess we can have lack of consideration for our memorial. But it's a beautiful memorial, and it needs to be kept up and not disgraced by other people. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron, and thank you for all your efforts. Is there anyone else in the audience that wishes to address the commission on a non-agenda item? Our next item is correspondence. I do have one piece of correspondence from Kirtland Products, but I will save that till we get to the Kirtland discussion. Is there anyone else, Commission, that has any correspondence to share?
Just
Mike? Yep. Oh, okay. Then we'll go into the city manager report. Mike?
Just a few items for this evening. In response to the flooding complaint that was brought before the City Commission a couple meetings ago, the crews have taken care, staff has taken care to have the driveway approach reconfigured at that location. We're finding, after watching it after a couple more rains, that we're actually getting too much water shedding from the road on down that driveway. We think this change should provide some additional relief for this resident, and so we're able to complete the improvements to the undersized downstream water storm sewer pipes. Last Thursday, Boyne City had the honor of welcoming our governor and one tough nerd, Rick Snyder, for a brief visit. He seemed very pleased with what he saw and heard about our community, including our joint approach to assessing services with East Jordan and Charlevoix, which is on the agenda for later this evening. He liked our pursuit of RPA, which is Relentless Positive Action, and pictures from his event have already appeared on the governor's newsletter and on his Facebook page. Work on Business Park Road improvements is well underway and making very good progress. Later this week, on Thursday at 11 a.m. in the community room in the Boyne District Library, we'll be having a public information meeting on the South Park Street Reconstruction Project. The contractor has submitted a tentative schedule, and he's anticipating starting the week of August 27th. Next Wednesday, August 22nd, all of Charlevoix County will be recognized at becoming the first certified broadband community, not only in the state, but in the entire nation. This recognizes the work that we have done to be a connected community throughout the county and our plans for moving forward in the future. Such certification should be helpful as we're looking to attract new families, businesses, and broadband providers to our area. It will be held at 10 o'clock at the Boyne City High School Media Center, and the public is invited. A reminder that the City Commission and their spouses are invited to the Airport Board's annual cookout, which will be held on Thursday, August 23rd, at the airport, starting at around 6 p.m. I regret to inform the City Commission and the entire community that we'll be losing a valuable member of our staff. Shannon McMaster has advised us that he will be leaving at the end of this month to pursue career opportunities closer to his family in the Spring Lake area. Shannon has been a great asset to us and our partners in planning, especially Evangeline and Wilson Tower. Since he arrived here almost 5 years ago, he's expanded well beyond the normal parameters of planning and code enforcement duties to help us in a great many other areas, such as grant writing and photography. Shannon is a very talented person that we have been glad to have part of our team. He'll be greatly missed, and we wish him well. Scott and I are currently preparing to advertise for possible replacements. If you have any questions on these or any other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike.
Welcome.
Shannon, good luck to you, and we'll miss you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your effort. Next item on the agenda is the reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. And then we have the minutes of each one of these committees has been presented to us for review. And do we have any commission discussion in regards to the minutes they received from these boards? Lauren, Derek?
No.
Anything? No, sir. Okay. Item on the agenda is unfinished business, the Kirtland update. And before we get into the update, we do have correspondence from Kirtland Products. It's dated August 9th, 2012. Subject, Kirtland Products Noise Remediation. Dear Commissioners, I would like to use this occasion to report to you on the actions undertaken by Kirtland Products as a result of the information provided in the RSG Community Noise Assessment and Mitigation of Kirtland Products Plant Study, and your request during your meeting of July 24th to submit a report on Kirtland Products Action Plan with timeline. Kirtland Products appreciates the assistance of Boyne City in providing the services of RSG in identifying equipment noise sources. The information has been helpful, and we have contracted Kodiak Group, LLC, to assist us in evaluating the plant air pressure and design of our conveyance system, which is identified in the RSG report as a potential cause of the tonal plaza pulsation condition. We have been committed to addressing the objectionable tonal pulsation noise since first recognizing the condition when we started operations in December. During the ensuing period, we engaged the community to assist in identifying the source of the noise and install mufflers and sound reduction enclosures. We voluntarily reduced operating hours and work days to minimize the noise impact. This was done with significant financial consequences to the company. The Citizens Committee initiative proved instrumental in ultimately finding and contracting the services of RSG Group. The Kodiak Group arrived at the plant on Wednesday, August 8th, to begin their analysis. We anticipate that they will report their findings and recommendations the week of August 13th. We plan to provide further updates at the next City Commission meeting on Tuesday, August 28th. We're not operating this week of August, this week or the week of August 13th. However, once we identify and remediate to the recommendations of the Kodiak Group, we will need to resume production to prepare for MDEQ stack testing as well as customer product orders. The MDEQ is scheduled to conduct stack testing the week of September 10th. We believe that armed with the RSG study and the engineering expertise of the Kodiak Group, that we can successfully address the tonal pulsation noise. Respectfully, Leon Tupper, CEO, Kirtland Products. And at this time, I'm going to turn the discussion, start the discussion, and turn it over to Mike Kane, our city manager.
Okay, just a brief report. What's taken place, at least from my perspective, our July 24th meeting, which is when the City Commission asked me to follow up with them and see where we could go from there. On Monday, July 30th, Barb Brooks and I went out to the Kirtland facility and had an opportunity to meet with Leon and Tom out there. They told me about their plans to hire Kodiak, deal with the worst noise issue, and develop a plan that would allow them to perform the required stack testing. Basically, what they had outlined to me was a plan to break them out of the vicious cycle that they're in, where they're not operating and they can't get any closer to getting the stack test done. They asked if we had funds that would be available to allow them to hire Kodiak. I told them that we could ask the EDC and the LDFA, but that I wasn't optimistic. They confirmed that they had a meeting scheduled for the following day, Tuesday, the 31st of July, with the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, and another funding organization to discuss possible financing operations. They indicated that they had experienced an equipment failure, but were planning to resume their 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. operations after that situation was corrected. They also expressed concerns regarding noise levels that were above what were called for in the RSG study, that were already present in their neighborhood without them being in operation. The following day, it was confirmed to me that the meeting took place with the MEDC and the other parties on looking at financing options. But there were no clear results, and a lot of times when they have those types of meetings, they don't. I was notified by Kirtland, I believe this was on Wednesday, that they had actually gone out and obtained the Kodiak Group using their own resources to do so, and they expected them to begin work that following week. They also informed me at that time that they had suspended their operations other than to do work on equipment or perform tests that would allow Kodiak to do their work. Shortly thereafter, I recommended to them that they provide a letter, which I think is the one that you just referred to, Mayor, to the City Commission explaining what specific steps they were doing to address the issues that were addressed or raised at our last regular City Commission meeting. prior to my communications with Kirtland on that Wednesday, after Barb and I went out and met with them and hearing the results of the financing, we were very close to, or I was very close to having the planning department schedule this matter to go back and forth before the planning commission. I didn't see any significant activity taking place. I was unsure about their ability to begin such efforts, and significantly, they were operating on hours that were much beyond what the commission had discussed at that meeting on July 24th. Subsequent to that meeting, especially when they suspended their operations and were able to secure the Kodiak Group on their own, brought me to the point where I thought they should be able to present their case to the city commission tonight before we as a staff took any further actions. That's a brief update of what I was able to learn since we met. I'd be glad to answer any questions that you might have with regards to it. I should also point out for, I know the commission's aware of it as well too, and I'm sure we're probably going to refer to it, that we have those we have petitions that were received as well. I don't know if you want to address that or if you want me to address that at this point.
I'll let you address that.
Okay. And we've got them in two forms, and these kind of started arriving, I believe it was on the 1st of August. And these are petitions basically asking for people to stop the noise and air pollution, and specifically requesting that Kirtland's conditional use permit be revoked. We've got them in two formats. Like you mentioned, on August 1st, I started receiving some in emails. A lot of them came in last week while I was out of the office. On Monday of this week, we had a number of them that were delivered in written format, basically ones that were made out on paper. I had our staff take all those and put together a listing of them. I emailed that to the city commission last night. So we got a few more updates today. Altogether, we received 74 people that had submitted the petitions either in writing, in the hard copies, or digitally through emails that I received. There may be a couple others that are straggling out there someplace. So we found one that we weren't aware of yesterday that Scott had that I wasn't aware of yesterday that Scott had received, but I hadn't. I was pretty much operating on the assumption that I would get most of them. So there may be another one or two out there that I'm not aware of, but I think this reflects all of them that have been submitted to date. And I noticed that the at our tables this evening, there was looked like some lists that are tabulated very similar to what we had done as well.
Before I turn the floor over to the representatives of Kirtland Products, do any of our commissioners have a question for Mike in regards to his summary that he just gave?
Not at this point.
Okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn the floor over to Kirtland representatives, Mr. Tucker, Monley, and Mr. Ryan, each, if you wish to address the commission.
I do, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. Again, my name is Leon Tupper. I'm the CEO of Kirtland Products here in Boyne City. Reflections of the actions and activities to date are accurate and reflected certainly in both the letter that was spoken to by Mr. Mayor, as well as the indications we've had with Mr. King. We do anticipate, or had anticipated, that the Kodiak Group, who did conduct a full-day analysis of our equipment based upon the RSG study to analyze the airflow system of our plant in hopes of identifying corrective actions, did submit a findings with recommendations that came into our electronic mailbox this evening. We have not digested them. We will be contacting the Kodiak Group tomorrow to schedule a conference call to review their results and their findings and their next steps. At that point in time, I think we are in a much better position to understand the scope of work focused on the pulsation issue that the number one identified by the RSG group, and their three-step approach to mitigating noise in the area. Thereupon, we will know not only the scope of work, but the timing and the cost elements associated with same, and we'll be in a position to report those findings in a more broader context to the commissioners. Again, we want to thank the commissioners and the city and the support of the city citizens committee in helping us through this difficult phase of identifying sources of noise that we could use to begin the remediation process. Prior to that point in time, we utilized non-scientific approaches with hopes that they would have resulted in a satisfactory solution. Unfortunately, in February of this year, it did not. But we think we are much closer to a point where we have addressed the tonal pulsation issue that seems to be most prevalent when we are operating within the community. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Tom, do you wish to address this?
On a somewhat different subject, Mayor, I would like to request that on the Boyne City website that the pictures of Kirtland products be taken off the website. It's somewhat proprietary information, and really would rather not have people that are looking how to make a good pellet plant see all the pictures from the RSG report. The last 40 pages or something are all pictures of the plant itself and all the equipment, and I would like to, unless there's compelling reason for that pictures to be on the website, I'd like that to be taken off if that could be done. Thank you.
Okay, well, take that under advisement. And Mike, you have that. Get back to us on that.
Yeah, I'd want to make sure that there's a balance to make sure that we're not withdrawing some of the information that might be helpful on the report. And I can understand the privacy concerns, but I guess I'd have to take a look at the pictures specifically before I came up with any recommendation.
Yeah. Okay. Mike, do you have any?
I don't have anything. Thank you.
Okay. Mike?
I'd have a question for them if it would be appropriate at this time.
Sure, Mike.
Leanna, I don't know who the best person to address this would be, but in your letter of August 9th, you talked about the schedule of the facility that you were looking to operate last week or this week. But now that Kodiak Group is working, can you tell us what your schedule or what your anticipated schedule is, and if you're anticipating resuming normal production before implementing any things that will deal with the pulsation?
I can't answer that question at this point in time until I've had a chance to review with the Kodiak Group in greater details the scope of work and the requirements. At that point in time, I am in a position to balance the work that they suggest would be required to be completed along with the requirements of the MDEQ as well as the customer orders. So I'm a little premature and not with entirely all information that I need to balance to answer your question. Expect to have that by the middle of the week.
We have made the decision that if the Kodiak Group has things that we could be doing next week, we would push out any orders that may be required to work on the Kodiak Group remediation, if that's something that's in their timeline, but we don't know until we talk about it.
Thank you.
Before we go to citizens' comments, I'm going to go to our staff members. Scott, do you have anything you'd like to bring to the commission tonight?
No, nothing at this time, Mayor.
Okay. Do we have any department heads that wish to comment before we go to citizen comments? Okay. Well, at this time, we'll open the floor up for citizens' comments. Please raise your hand and state your name and address the commission if you wish to do so. Mr. Arner?
Yes. I have a concern that when Kirtland, it doesn't sound to me like they indicated to the council that they have a goal of meeting that threshold goal of 35 EVA that's in the RSG report. They appear to be focused on the pulsation component of this problem, but personally, I don't think that's the only problem. With or without the pulsation, I think the noise level is still a problem. The pulsation adds additional annoyance, and I think that's identified in the RSG report, and that's why there's a 5 dBA penalty applied for the pulsation. What I haven't heard is saying that they intend to meet that dBA goal in the RSG report contained. So I would hope that would be addressed.
Gentleman from Kirtland wish to respond to that?
Yeah, I think we're able to respond to that concern. First of all, the three-step process is designed to address the most egregious concern, and we want to do that, and we will do that, and then upon completion make an assessment of the impact of that work. We are fully aware that the conservative standards proposed in the RSG presentation, in the absence of the city not having any standards, is attainable. However, it would not be noticed by the citizens since the noise levels when we're not operating exceeds those standards. So it is not a set of standards from a noise level standpoint that's commonly found in many of the communities here in the state of Michigan. We did quite a bit of analysis in terms of standards for noise in cities with industrial settings, and we found none that approached the levels that were in the RSG recommendation. And again, even if those are achieved, the audible noticing of that would not necessarily be recognized because it would still be below the noise threshold when we are not operating.
Thanks. I was just going to echo what Mr. Arner said as far as I don't think the tonal pulsation is going to solve the issue. There is a noise level that's still going to exist and you're still going to hear it. And you know, as far as the standards that RSG proposed, those were the World Health Organization's standards. Okay? So it's up to you guys to decide if they're conservative, not Kirtland to tell you if they're conservative. Okay? So I think you guys need to make that decision. Where do we want to end up? Okay? And I don't think it's a decibel issue so much as an audibility issue for those of us who hear the plant all the time. It's going to come down to audibility. So, you know, these guys are looking to spend a lot of money to do what RSG suggested. RSG suggestions were based on models, and you know, in our systems group, we had a lot of discussion about models and how the results are based on the parameters that you put in, and the models are only as good as the parameters you put in, and the models really can't account for everything in a given environment, in a given setting. Okay? So, what was I going with that? Anyways, it comes back to, I think it's going to be, oh, I know. So those recommendations, those three remediation acts were based on their models, okay? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, you know, these guys are going to spend a lot of money based on how well they believe those models behave. So, you know, in the end, for the citizens that hear it and have to live for 24 hours a day, it's going to come down to audibility. You know, can I go into my house and go to sleep at night? You know, can my kids fall asleep at night? And, you know, and so forth. And that's without even addressing the environmental concerns. So we do have health concerns. If not sleeping is a health concern, that's what happens with a lot of noise. But there are also health concerns as far as you're looking this up in the air, it'll be brief. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bowman?
Jim Bowman, Boneyard Chamber of Commerce. Well, it seems like Kirtland has done what you asked them to do, is give you a timeline. And the timeline that they presented is about a month to try out. You know, they very quickly hired the noise consultant to go after what seemed to be the worst problem. The other big item on the timeline is the DEQ doing the tests for the emissions. And they say that they'll be able to do both of those things within a month. It seems to me that's a pretty reasonable request. We've gone this far. It's a business in the community. I know we're all anxious to resolve this as quickly as we can, but we got to give them a month to ride this out and see where we're at. And then I think, you know, we'll know a lot more in a month. We're speculating on what might happen when they do this one noise amelioration. We're speculating about what the emissions might be. Let's find out for sure. We'll know a lot more in a month. Thank you.
Diane?
My name is Diane Neisler. I've been corresponding quite a bit with Kurt Chalice. And the one thing that I'd asked him back on March 27th in an email, I said, is there any way in the world we could get the emissions to CO2 and water? And he emails me back. I said, there will always be some byproducts in any combustion activity other than CO2 and water. This is why the permit has limits, in particular nitrogen oxide, carbon dioxide, and formaldehyde. They said, and to the plans of the you guys were there, I wasn't, but I listened to the CD. That's what it was going to be. It's not. But this, I need your copy. Scott actually has a copy. I know that you have a copy for me, too. We've got to deal with that kind of stuff, too, before we even talk about the noise. I mean, in addition to the noise. Thank you.
Mike?
Mike Lane, 1110 Boeing Summit. You know, there have been a lot of comments about what is in the emissions and they've related back to the comment that was made in the Planning Commission that the stack will emit CO2 and water. If you were to ask anybody what's in those pictures, they would tell you that water is in those pictures. They would not list antimony, chromium, copper, lead, benzene, ethylene dibromide, epoxide, hexachlorobenzene, tetrachloroethylene, E. coli, or arsenic. But they're all contained in that glass of water. So, I mean, to ask somebody, can you tell me what it would take to make that pure water, you know, but yet here we are drinking it, you know, so... Because those things exist, it doesn't make it unhealthy. And the DEQ has established parameters and limits to so that we are making sure that the emissions from our plant are what they have determined is our healthy limits. So we are complying with the DEQ's recommendations. Our plant was designed based on the DEQ's parameters. And we are continuing to work with DEQ to make sure that we are in compliance. Thank you. Thank you.
Can I just say one more thing? I wouldn't, and nobody in this room would put a drop of formaldehyde in their kids' juice in the morning or now. Or just try a little bit, you know, because the DEQ says it's okay. Let's just keep doing this every day. DEQ said it's okay. I wouldn't do it, none of you would.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Emily Jones from 1124 North Drive. I
think it's, you know, we're like missing the big picture, because it's not just the CO2 and what's coming out of the stacked water. There's also the dust that we're breathing in, and that has an overall health impact too. So, you know, when I go outside and I can't breathe, or I smell, you know, this odor, and it's so strong, and that's going into my lungs, over time that's going to make a significant impact. You know, but when it comes down to it, it's when we look at the facts of what they said in the 08 meeting, none of those statements are being upheld and followed through on. And so when I look at my neighbor who can't sell her home and is taking a significant loss, who will be taking a significant loss, you know, I think economically that ends up being an impact on the city as well, because you're not going to collect as much tax dollars for us because our homes are not going to sell, and those are going to have to be reduced. We're not going to send our kids to that Point City Schools, which is unfortunate. You know, how many employees are actually having full-time work with this company? And if you add up all the costs of all of our homes, it equals quite a bit much more than what is invested in this plant. So I wish the commission would take that into consideration, because it's not just our health, it's our income. We invest all of our hard-earned money into our homes and where we live at too. So, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that wants to address the commission? Okay, we'll move to commission discussion. Gene, would you like to start tonight?
Sure, thanks. Well, first of all, I believe the city has done their part and getting the RSG noise assessment done. I really wanted to hear what Kodiak's recommendations were for Kirtland, and what Kirtland is going to do with their recommendations. And with all the questions and concerns about what is coming out of the stack, I really want to see those results. But for whatever reason, hasn't been done yet. I do believe we're getting close to or at the time where we should consider sending this back to the Planning Commission for their review of Kirtland's conditional permit.
Okay.
Well, we're right back to where we were 6 months ago, and it's a collection of data. It's we can make a good analysis, and it's patience, and patience is wiring thin, which I said 2 weeks ago. And I agree with Mr. Arner and Mr. Gim that I wanted Kirtland to address the sound mitigation from the RSG study, and you're not quite there yet. I also agree that with Mr. Towne that time is running short, and our next step as a commission would be to send it back to the Planning Commission. So the question is, do we wait one more week, one more 2 week period, one more month, so we can do the stack test and we can see what Kodiak does, and we can get a commitment from Kirtland to implement sound mitigation that was recommended by the RSG? Or has the rope gotten so short that it's time to send it back to Planning Commission? And that's what I'm struggling with. I guess I'm, well, I'll leave it at that. That's what I'm struggling with, Mr. Mayor. So we're running short on time. but I understand that we need some studies for conclusions, and we need implementation so we can see if mitigation is happening. And I agree that it's about the sound. If you, you have to be able to not hear it to be effective. So. That's all I have at this time.
Okay. Thank you,
Tom.
Jerry?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I, for one, have heard enough. And I'm going to make a motion that we remand this matter back to the board that has direct oversight, that is the Planning Commission, and they make a determination on the conditional use permit and the entire process therein at this time.
I think it's only fair that Laura has a chance to speak before we ask for a second to that motion.
I could second the motion if you'd like at this point and then continue the discussion. Could I not? Or would it be better to wait?
I'd rather hear what you have to say first.
Okay.
And I do have some concern whether a motion is necessary to do that, remand it to the Planning Commission for review. I might call on our city manager for advice on that. Part of the discussion, but go ahead, Lauren.
Okay, basically, I guess what I want to say is after reading this, and I received it in the packet, and I read it through several times, I was a little disappointed, maybe more than a little disappointed. I was almost a little angry after I read it, because you did not address, I feel, my concerns, and my concerns were I wanted to see a comprehensive plan of what you intended to do moving forward to address all the issues that were pointed, that were outlined for you to do in that RSG report. I think that was a good report. I know we spent money doing that for you, and then it's like you just took one item and are focusing on the pulsation, which you got to start somewhere, I guess. But I wanted to see a whole time frame, whether you're going to be able to afford financially to do that or not, and if you plan on intending on implementing it, and when. And I don't see that in here. I see a start, and ironically it starts, you get your report tonight, starts tomorrow, and then it delays it again. So I think I'm about out of patience, and I hate to say that. I sympathize, I empathize with all you've been through and all you've tried to do. But when you state in here that you started, you addressed the pulsation noise since last December, then why didn't you go ahead on your own and get a sound specialist in there of your own, the Kodiak group then, and do it then instead of just kind of trying this and trying that. And it's just frustrating. And I think in light of all of these petitions and the people that it's upsetting in the community, you're just at odds with the community. In what you're trying to do. And again, it's not that I don't have any sympathy for what you're trying to do and the people who work for you and all of that, but it just doesn't seem to be working. So with that, yeah.
And now we're in the process of commission discussion, but I'll give you time in just a moment. I think one of the things, too, the job that what the commission's been asked to do and our city manager's been asked to do is, you know, managing these conflicting interests that we have, not only for our citizens, but, you know, for our number one goal of the city, job creation, job retention, safety, quality of life, and it's been a long struggle, you know, since last December, you know, since all this came to light. And
it's unfortunate we things haven't worked out per the models and the plans that were presented to us. Mike, do you have anything to add to the discussion part of this?
No, not really with regards to the substance of the discussion. I think the petitions speak for themselves, Kirtland speaks for themselves with regards to their comments here tonight and the information they provided you. I mean, I think it was pretty clear at the last City Commission meeting that we were pretty much all at the end of the organization's ropes at that point. We're looking for, kind of as Laura had mentioned, some specific plans with regards to it. As I mentioned during my comments, when I met with Kirtland, I was right at the cusp of going forward with it, and they came forward with it, with their plans and what they were looking to do. I just wasn't sure if that was enough or not. And I'll be glad to take any direction the commission wishes to go, whether that's in the form of a motion. I don't think one's necessary if I hear a consensus from the commission, but whatever the commission's pleasure is on this one. And I guess I shouldn't even say that, because I don't think any of us take any pleasure in any of the actions that we're having to do with this. It's just a real struggle. And this organization has been very good at working problems and problem solving. It's frustrating for us not to have been able to bring this to a conclusion a lot sooner than this. I think we've all tried our best efforts here. I think in sincerity working with the public and working with Kirtland to do that. So I'm comfortable with any direction the commission wishes to pursue on that. I have talked to our legal entities that we needed to with regards to that prior to my discussions with Kirtland and prior to advising the commission on anything. I think we're as good as we can be. Again, that's not the primary goal. The primary goal is to solve the problem. But I'm comfortable with any position the commission wishes to take with this. And if they don't feel that there has been enough progress from Kirtland to this point, the appropriate step is for it to go back to the Planning Commission for them to address the issues that they first addressed when they approved the conditional use permit. And that can be done with or without a motion. Again, if I have any clear sense from the commission based on where we are at the end of the discussion, a motion isn't necessary from my perspective, but whatever you're comfortable with.
Mr. Monroe?
Yes. In regards to the length of time in which it's taken for this to transpire, one of the things that needs to be kept in mind is the fact that on December 17th, we did our first study with the community, and by January 23rd, we had mufflers designed and installed. And then on February 17th, the commission decided to form a citizens committee to address this issue. That took from February 17th until July 17th in order to complete that process. And then from July 17th until August 14th, we have given out that report. We have hired an engineering firm. We have had them out. And in a matter of a month, we've done a lot to remediate the number one issue that's in that report that took 22 weeks to get.
Laura, I give the floor back to you.
Back to me on that one? See, I guess I don't quite see it that way. I think from the very beginning you were aware there were a lot of issues with this in the community and a lot of complaints. And we've been through this every single week or every single meeting at City Commission that's been brought up. And we've had hearings, and we've had input, and we've had public comments, and it's not like something that's all of a sudden you're aware of. It's been something that's been an issue from the get-go with the community.
Right, but we decided, as a community, we decided to take that path of 22 weeks of citizens committee to get a report. That's my point.
Yeah, but okay. I don't want to argue the point. All I'm saying is that this did not do it for me as far as your game plan to address the issues in the RSG report. And where is the concrete barrier walls that you were planning, that is in the report, that's a recommendation? Where is the other issues that were addressed? And I just feel like it's one small stab at the whole overall picture, and it's just not a complete, is what I was hoping to see.
Commissioners, do I have a motion?
I have further discussion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Could you clarify, if the motion did pass, what the timeline would be and how that would be processed?
My understanding, there would have to be a public hearing. I believe the earliest that could be done would be the 17th of September. But
I heard you say that, and then I saw Scott nodding his head yet. And
is that correct?
I was thinking he could give you any clarification if you needed on the time frames.
Scott, can I call on you to identify what would be the protocol for a public hearing?
A public hearing requires a 15-day notice prior to the hearing, and notice is mailed to all properties within 300 feet. The next regular scheduled planning commission meeting that we can meet those deadlines would be on the 17th of September.
Sure. Question. And to clarify, Scott, so at that public meeting, which would be the Planning Commission regular meeting?
Correct.
The Planning Commission would be, their task would be what? To review the original 08 conditional use permit?
Well, the permit, the preliminary approval was made in 2008. Then they came back to the Planning Commission in 2009 for final site plan approval. So the Planning Commission will be looking at all those items and see if they're in compliance with those plans and conditions.
I have a question for you, Scott. Can any of those conditions be amended at this public hearing?
Conditional use permits can be amended through mutual agreement between the applicants and the commission.
City commission or the planning commission?
Planning commission.
Okay.
And Mr. Mayor, to clarify, so during this timeline, Kirtland would, I assume, continue to operate, continue to administer Kodiak recommendations, and continue to administer the stack test. Is that a fair assumption, or is that, should that be directed to Kirtland?
Well, it seemed to me that it would certainly, you know, all of this could take place before the 17th of, you know, September. You know, a plan and everything in place before the public hearing.
Thank you.
If it is remanded to the Planning Commission. Is that a fair assumption, Scott? I mean,
yes. I guess I don't understand the question.
Well, you know, timelines, you know, the DEQ test is scheduled for like the 10th of September, but even if it was the 17th of September, would they have the results back on a a test like that within that many days, or and the other question is, could there be a noticeable remediation in that time period too?
I don't know.
So I mean, those are, is that what you were trying to address? I mean, is there time to get something done, you know, before that public hearing?
I guess that's, yeah, I'm trying to clarify who does what before September 17th, if indeed that motion did pass.
Could the public hearing be moved back to the end of the month, too? You know, an additional week, you know, for stack tests and information like that to come back to the Planning Commission. Is the 17th locked in stone? I mean, as far as a...
That's a regularly scheduled meeting. A special meeting can be called by the Planning Commission, the chair can call, or several members of the Planning Commission can call. Okay. That would be up to them if they want to do that.
Well, I guess my question is, in this whole timeline of that, going back to the Planning Commission, then, with empathy, Kirkland, I mean, what would be the point of you going forward with doing all the remediation if you think it's going to be revoked for your use permit? I mean, I guess that's where I'm wondering, how does that, you know, where does that put them in what they're planning on doing?
The choice that they would have to make if that's okay. The direction the commission wants to go.
So a special meeting could be called and move that date up, so it wouldn't be, mm-hmm. How soon could it be done?
Like you said, we have those notice requirements of 15 days, so that has been published in the paper.
So it could be a lot sooner.
Not a whole lot before the 17th, maybe a week before to meet this time.
Any further discussion?
I guess one other question, this is just a technical question, I guess, legally, does the City Commission then have authority over the Planning Department in revoking the permit, or is it up to the Planning Commission to do so?
It's up to the Planning Commission to do so.
Okay.
Again, the reason that this issue came before the City Commission is we're using this kind of as a central gathering group to coordinate the city's various efforts, the Planning Department, staff, the commissions, things of that nature. So kind of frustrating, another frustration in this effect, a lot of people come in and are looking to the City Commission for an answer where the Commission has limited ability to act
right.
On this.
Okay.
We have to refer it to the proper procedural thing, which is back to the Planning Commission, if that's the way.
And then we review what their decision is.
No, they make the decision. That's a final decision on their behalf. That's not a decision that comes back to the City Commission. That is one of the areas that they are charged with implementing.
So we have a motion on the floor for remanding it back to the Planning Commission for reconsideration of their permit. Is that how you stated it?
That's correct, Mayor.
Can you read that motion back, please, Mr. Mayor? That Cindy has it.
No, I didn't. Remand back to the Planning Commission to make a determination on the conditional use permit. And process therein.
And what?
In process. The process therein.
Yep. And process therein. Is there a second?
A second.
You are seconding it?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roll call.
Crunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Yes.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Our next item on is new business. Item A, SynTech tax exemption extension. Consideration to hear oral and written comments from the public regarding the tax abatement extension for GAG SynTech to approve the tax abatement extension request from SynTech for a period of 4 years as recommended by the EDC board and authorize the city manager and city clerk treasurer to sign and submit the documents necessary to execute the abatement. Doing the summary on this one.
I can. Okay. You have in your agenda packet a memo and some background information with regards to the request before you. When SynTech first built their facility, they applied for a tax abatement at that time based on the scoring criteria used by the EDC-LDFA with regards to the amount of investment, employees, things of that nature. They granted an 8-year abatement out of the maximum of 12 years. I believe this is the only firm that has not received a 12-year abatement, at least in recent memory. As allowed under state law, SynTech is requesting that the city consider issuing the additional 4 years that were not issued originally. They can never ask for more than the 12 years total that is out there. It is discretionary whether the city commission grants them this additional exemption. At this point, they are not looking to add additional equipment or employees or anything significant of that nature. This matter did go before the EDC board, which oversees these recommendations to the City Commission, and they are recommending on a unanimous basis that the City Commission grant them the additional 4 years for the tax abatement. It'll have an approximate impact to the city treasury of about $700 per year. There will be additional impacts for the other taxing jurisdictions as well. We do have Mr. Contesti is here from SynTech as well. He can address some of the issues that I may have missed.
Yeah, sure appreciate it. I think you covered everything really good. That if there really would be helpful for us, and we would really appreciate it for your extension with the economy and all. It also we really struggled with a good internet service when we put the plant up there. We had no idea that we wasn't going to have good internet, and so that we struggled with that. But we've resolved that problem. Finally, got DSL and I've got good internet now. But it would just be really helpful to us, and we'll use that money wisely to help grow the business and I think that a lot of times there's a lot of help for larger businesses that are much larger than us versus smaller business. And as like Mike has mentioned, I think we're the only company in the park that hasn't got the 12 years. I know there's the guidelines on how many employees, what your wages are, and all that. And we probably would increase the employees and wages, although our wages are really good. But the economy actually hurt us really bad, and so it I think would really help us out to get the 4-year tax abatement. Greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any input or discussion from staff? Commission members, Laura, would you like to start?
I guess a couple of quick questions. How many employees do you have currently?
Oh, it varies depending on what's going on in the shop, but somewhere between 5 and 6 to maybe 8, 9, something like that. We pay our wages vary from, I think our lowest paid employee is $10.75. Our highest paid employee is $25 an hour. Mm-hmm. We just started a, we also do profit sharing. That's something new we started the last couple of years. So there's some benefits and retirement on that end of it.
Okay, I guess my question here would be, if you're possibly looking at a 49% increase for a record year coming up?
That changes weekly. The last couple of days, I think we're running around 35%.
Okay, well, let's say you do go 35% to 49%, and that carries on every year for the next 4 years. Do you plan on adding more employees, or is it just that?
Oh no, we would like to add more. The shop is actually getting really small. We used to have a lot of room. We're kind of stacking up now. We're kind of going to the ceiling, but we figure on expanding. If we continue to grow at 35% or 35-40%, we'll definitely have to add on fairly short time.
Okay, and when you started your business, what was your goal of numbers of employees, like in the beginning? Just curious.
I'm not sure what we put on. But I don't know. That might have been in writing somewhere. I'm not really sure what that figure was.
Okay, so it really hasn't grown. It's just sort of pretty much what you started at is where it's at.
The economy. Our business is directly related to housing. We supply on-site wastewater products. Mm-hmm. When the housing market, when they quit building houses, that took a huge impact. We actually was still able to grow, but at a very low percentage, 2-3%, okay. Something like that. So we're really enjoying this 35% growth right now.
Okay, let's see. And what is your reason about the inadequate internet service? Is that a fault of the business park?
I think that really hurt us for the first few years we were there. I don't know how much you guys use the internet, but trying to run a business up there with the internet we had was really difficult. I just mentioned that because. Maybe this tax abatement would help lessen that hurt a little bit. I think that there should have been a lot more consideration when that new park was added, that all those lots had high-speed internet or good internet, and they didn't. I mean, we had to put a tower up on our building, and that didn't work.
That's what I was getting at, is how much was there available when you first opened your business? And if it wasn't there, okay.
We had to try to shoot a signal over to Great Lakes Tower, and that didn't work. It didn't work. Our antenna didn't work, so we had to relocate the antenna a couple times. We finally did get it set up to where we could get some internet service, but it was really bad.
Okay. Well, that answers my question.
Mike was real helpful in trying to get us some internet service, and we did finally get. Some internet service, just really low speed.
I guess that does my questions.
Gary? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess my question would be directed to perhaps previous board members or the city manager. Looking at the intent or the reason for the 8 years at the initial abatement versus 12 in the very beginning. Can somebody explain why they didn't get 12 versus 8? What criteria?
Again, it goes back. there's a scoring sheet that is generally used mm-hmm. for each one of these, and they look at the initial investment of the building, the equipment that's going in the building, the number of people that they're looking to hire, and I think that number, going back and looking at the original application, was probably around 13. Mm-hmm. We're able to come close to that. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, they're still there. Federal mm-hmm. screw isn't. Mm-hmm. We've also got tax abatements, but those are cut off.
Right.
The wages that they pay, mm-hmm. the type of business that there is. There's about 10 different categories, Commissioner Heller, with regards to that. And again, as Gary mentioned, they are a smaller plant. They were provided some assistance with regards to it, but not as much as some of the other places that are investing much more or hiring at a lot higher levels or projecting hiring at higher levels.
So it was based on how they scored out. It wasn't a subjective matter. It was objective based on the data.
Correct, correct. I mean, there's a couple that are, have some real, maybe like some rounding subjectivity mm-hmm. to them that you can, you know, okay. how attractive the building is or if it doesn't meet with the area over there.
Mm-hmm. And,
their facility's fine, they always keep it up very well, and they haven't had any problems. He is correct with regards to the internet. We spent a lot of time working and researching a whole bunch of different options, some that panned out, some that didn't at all. I think we looked at Charter coming in there, and that was available, but that was expensive to bring in, like $6,000 or $7,000, I think, just to run the line over.
Yeah, I think it was even more than that. But.
So I can understand why he's asking for it now. We would like to, I think this was an issue that some of the EDC LDFA members struggled with in this recommendation. They would have liked to see more investment in that type of stuff, but again, they recognize that he survived and his facility survived, mm-hmm. you know, a significant economic downturn, and they're mm-hmm. glad to still have him here and hope to basically keep feeding and helping him mm-hmm. grow. I don't know if that answered your question. It probably went a little bit long.
And I think the other thing, too, you know, this is an entrepreneurial startup,
mm-hmm.
and it went from home to business park, and that's something we're promoting as mm-hmm. a commission, and that's our number one goal in the city is job creation, job retention, and mm-hmm. It's been a real struggle for them to make it this far, and I think our EDC and, certainly have empathy as far as what they've done, been able to accomplish and develop a worldwide network that they've done now that they have the mm-hmm. internet. And that's probably the greatest thing attributable to having a 35% increase going through the years overseas shipments.
Mm-hmm.
So. Another comment that might help answer Commissioner Gaylor's question with regards to, I wasn't here when they went through the first tax abatement request, but many of the members of the LDFA or the EDC that recommended this to the City Commission for the four-year extension were there originally when they considered that and are here now. I'm sure they were, the vast majority of them were probably the same faces. So I'm sure they were able to factor into their minds, why they gave the 8% for the 8 years originally and not as they were considering these additional four, if that helps at all.
Thank you, Mike. Anything else?
Yes. Yeah, just... a couple more questions, points. Obviously, the number one thing, we want to make sure that we're fair in our offers and opportunities. And I need clarification to make sure that, based on what I'm hearing, the employee numbers and everything aren't really planning on changing or equipment purchases. And normally that factors in. And I'm wondering if we're going to get whiplashed by somebody else by saying you gave an additional abatement without meeting the criteria. I mean, is that, I have no problem doing that if it's the right thing and we can articulate that, but I just need to know, is that something we would normally do?
I don't have any concern about us being whiplash because there isn't anybody else that got less than 12 years okay. that can come back and use that argument on this.
Now, I mean,
if there's a marginal, if there's another business that comes in that scores low,
mm-hmm.
there isn't any reason that the EDC couldn't recommend the same thing, whether it's a mm-hmm. six-year or an eight-year, based on what they recommended for mm-hmm. these folks. It would still leave open the option for them coming back for an additional four if they thought so later on.
Okay.
That issue might be a little bit more difficult, but again, I'm not all that concerned mm-hmm. about precedence okay. as much as some people might be.
Just one last comment. Wish you tremendous success, and hopefully you're go beyond 35 to 350%. I mean, that's obviously would be the goal. I am a little confused by the comment where you said our internet wasn't available or working, but yet you chose to set your site up there.
Oh, we didn't. Wasn't aware. We thought, and we were told that we could get DSL. We signed up for it, got locked into a contract, and they couldn't deliver.
Okay. All right. So you were misled by the internet service provider at the time of choosing that location.
Right,
then.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Thank you.
Gene?
Oh, he's answered my question. I support the recommendation.
Yeah. I support the recommendation.
I also support the recommendation, but before I ask for a motion, if there's any citizen comments, anyone that's in the audience that wishes to comment, I bypass that and moving forward on the commission discussion. So. Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve the tax abatement. Extension request from Gibson / Tech for a period of 4 years as recommended by EDC board and authorize the city manager and city clerk / treasurer to sign and submit the documents necessary to execute the abatement extension.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Keep building.
Yeah. Making something.
This time next year, you have 13 employees, right?
I'm open.
Thank you. Next item under new business is the assessor's contract. Consideration to confirm the city manager's appointment of Deborah Chavez as the city's contractual assessor. Award a 3-year agreement to DC Assessing Services of Traverse City and not to exceed annual amounts of $54,160 and $55,110. That's a 3-year numbers. Contingent on the final agreement by the city attorney and the receipt of similar approvals from the cities of East Jordan and Charlevoix, and authorize the city manager and city clerk to sign the required documents. And at this time, I will turn this over to Mike for a summary.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased to be able to present to you today DC Assessing for your consideration as the city's next assessors. As the commission will recall, earlier this year we were advised by Charlevoix County that they would be ending their decades-old arrangement that they had with us, Charlevoix and East Jordan, for the provision of assessing services. We were disappointed to see this arrangement end. We thought it had worked very well and it paid them a significant fee for doing so. And it seemed contrary to the state's efforts to encourage governments to work together and share their services. But be that as it may, the three cities continue to work together in a unified effort to obtain replacement assessing services. And I must say, the Charlevoix County Equalization Department has been more than helpful with, and generous with their time throughout this process as they help with everything from preparing the request for proposals and to conducting interviews with various firms. I provided the commission a copy of the proposal that was provided. Prepared and advertised. We received 6 proposals on the June 25th due date. And I provided a listing of all of these, which I'll name also with the cost that they were looking to charge the city during the 3 years of their arrangements. One was Berg Assessing and Consulting in Rogers City. Second is the one we're considering today, DC Assessing Services of Traverse City, D&D Assessing in Melanson, Great Lakes Assessing in Cadillac, Quantum Valuation Services of Twin Lake, and Robert Rudnoff of East Jordan. Once we got the proposals from all the firms, they were provided to each of the cities and the Equalization Department of the County for their review and consideration. We then had a joint meeting with representatives of all three cities and the utilization department, at which time we kind of went through all the proposals and basically ranked four firms that we wanted to bring in for interviews, and I've listed them as items one through firms one through four on the sheet. At the actual interviews, the city managers and city treasurers from each of the three cities were present, along with a representative of the equalization department, and we all participated in the question asking. It was about a half a day process that we went through, and at that point, it was kind of up between Great Lakes Assessing and DC Assessing, which are both emerging as the two lead contenders. After references were checked and a second interview was held by the three city managers, with DC Assessing, it was agreed that we would recommend that they would be the best firm in the job, and that we would be recommending them to our respective city commissions. From my perspective, the reasons for recommending this firm include experience. The lead person, Deborah Chavez, and her experience in Traverse City as their the head of their assessing department has prepared her well for anything that any of the three communities is going to be dealing with. She is a state licensed level three assessor. If any of us, our communities, went individually, all we would require is level two. And that's on a 1 to 4 scale, with 1 being the entry level and 4 being pretty much the ultimate for much higher valued cities or counties than we are. Recommendations. I couldn't have gotten a stronger reference from Ben Bifoss, Traverse City City Manager, who many of us have worked with here in this community in the past when he was a consultant for Marina Services. He's Deborah's ultimate supervisor and just gave her glowing recommendations. I also talked to the equalization director from Grand Traverse County, who started there in March, and he speaks very highly of her as well, too, and happens to have a relative that works over at Michigan Community Dental Clinic as their chief financial officer. I learned my discussions with her. Small world. Anyway, location. Deborah and her staff, after her retirement from Traverse City, to take this position, are seeking to relocate to Charlotte, White County. So they would...
Point City, of course.
I would hope, but I think that'll speak for itself. So we'll have to consider that at renewal time. But I'm sure so will East Jordan and Charlotte. Exclusivity, which I just misspoke. But anyway, for the foreseeable future, the three communities would be DC assessing exclusive clients. Compatibility, although we had a number of good firms to interview with, from my perspective, Deborah and her team are the ones that I would most want to have working on our behalf with the public, with you, the city commission, the rest of our city staff, the county's equalization department, our board of review, our attorneys, myself, or anyone else. Deborah is knowledgeable, easy to talk to, comes across well, and has, if she gets a chance to speak, a real passion for her profession. I've never seen somebody as excited about assessing as she is. Vision. Deborah told us up front that she picked us to apply for because of the opportunity that working for the three communities present for building a multi-jurisdiction team that can be an example and for the rest of the state can be basically the leader in the state. I was and am excited to have the opportunity to work with an assessor or any member of our team that shoots for something like that as our goal. I think we have a real opportunity here, and she seems to be the best one to present us there. Costs. Their costs were in line with all the other firms that we interviewed. We have budgeted $75,000 for assessing services this fiscal year. This price appears to be well within that framework. Due to various startup and operating costs, we will be experiencing for the first time this year, it's difficult to know how much or any we will be serving right out of the gate. We're having to buy things like the additional software that we'll be talking about after this, computer hardware, office equipment, things of that nature. But over the years, it appears that we will have a savings, but we'll have a firmer grasp on that after we have some experience with them. DC Assessing will be holding regular office hours at our three city halls. Currently, people with assessing issues, unless they're here for board of review, went up to Charlotte, White County to deal with the folks there. We did a great job, I have to keep saying. One of the things that Deborah talked about was that they'll be holding regular office hours at each community, generally a day a week, so to speak, 8 hours a week. But whether they're in East Jordan or in Boyne City or in Charlevoix, anybody from any one of those three communities should be able to go and talk to them at any one of those other locations. So if somebody from Boyne City works in East Jordan or Charlevoix, they can go talk when they're visiting with them as well, too. So they'll have service in and out of the city whenever they're having the office hours. As they look to come into the organization, we're looking to establish an office for the assessor here. We're looking at the Planning Commission conference room at this point of time. Cindy and I have talked to Deputy City Clerk Karen Seeley about providing direct clerical support for the city services. We want to make sure that there's a common person to contact here in the office to, you know, handle things such as information that the assessing team needs gathered or the public needs as well. And I talked about the additional things that we might have to purchase, but we anticipate being able to do so within our budget amounts. Deborah and her team, Tom, is here with us tonight, and I'm sure they'd be glad to speak on this. As mentioned by the mayor, it's my recommendation that the City Commission confirm my appointment of Deborah Chavez as the city's contractual assessor. Award a 3-year agreement to DC Assessing Services of Traverse City at the not to exceed annual amounts of $54,160, $54,160, and $55,110, contingent upon final agreement review of the agreement and approval by the city attorney, and receipt of similar approval from the cities of East Jordan and Charlevoix. And then, should all that take place, that the city manager and city clerk treasurer be authorized to sign the document. I should also point out that this matter has been considered, I believe it was last week, by the City of East Jordan. They have given approval to a similar type of a motion with regards to contingent upon the other two communities and the final contract language being worked out, things of that nature. I believe it is scheduled to go to the City of Charlevoix on the 20th as well, which should all be well in advance of our September 1st start date to allow us to transition smoothly with the county. Again, the county has been very helpful once they've told us, you know, they look to go in a different direction on this. They're looking to work with us and make this transition as smooth as possible. Again, there's other options provided for the commission if they're so inclined. You can postpone this for additional information or review. We have one more city commission meeting before the September 1st date. Approve a modified version of the request. If you deny the request, or some other action the city commission might consider. I'd be glad to try and address any questions you have on it. I'm sure Deborah and Tom could speak for themselves if the commission so desires.
Deborah, would you like to address the commission?
Just like to thank you for the opportunity to serve the citizens of Boyne City. I'm really looking forward to this. I have been very excited about this concept since the time I first read about it. Pat Sabosky from the Equalization Department actually called me and was telling me about it, and that's what got me excited. And I just really look forward to working in this community.
Thank you. I usually ask for department head input, and Cindy being our treasurer and city clerk and chief financial officer, if you have any comments.
I am just in full agreement with the city manager's recommendation. I did sit in on the first interviews and was thoroughly impressed, and I'm really looking forward to this new change coming along. Very positive.
Thank you. Do we have any other department heads that wish to speak to this matter? Citizen comments. Anyone in the audience wishes to speak to the commission? Okay, we'll move to the commission then. And Tom, would you like to start?
A very glowing report, which I'm sure is well deserved, and I would follow the city manager's recommendation.
Lauren?
I guess Yeah, it is a very good report. I'm in support at this point. I just have a couple of personal questions. You're out of Traverse City. You live in Traverse City?
I'm just outside of Traverse City.
Okay, and are you just planning on commuting then to this area? Or?
We're planning on moving into the Charlevoix County.
Oh, okay.
It's going to take us a little bit.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I just wondered. I know it's a personal question, but I was just curious. And then also it says your staffs, you have a team or a staff. So is your staff just one person? Or
at this point.
At this point? Are you planning on expanding that then? Or?
It depends on if we're going to need to or not. We're kind of feeling our way into this also. But we assured city managers that we will make sure that we meet the standards set by the state and my standards, which are pretty high.
Okay.
So we'll do what's necessary for us.
All right. I guess at this point, that's about all I guess that's all I have until the next issue.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh. Did you have something, Mike?
Just to follow up, maybe a question that might help you with your question, Laura. I don't know if Deborah wants to speak about the status of her residence in Traverse City.
That I sold my house already?
There you go.
Okay. All right.
It was usually the hardest part of a transition.
That's right. Okay.
Derek?
Here you go.
Excuse me for.
Not a problem. Obviously, I'd be remiss to not ask the blatantly obvious question. And one of the bids was about $22,000 less. Could I have the city manager address why we're spending $22,000 more?
Because we thought we needed a quality service, and none of us, after reviewing the proposal mm-hmm. that was received from that firm, felt that they were going to be up to the level that our citizens would need. That was a pretty common assessment from all three of the city managers that reviewed it and the equalization department as well.
So they weren't state licensed?
I brought that proposal with me.
For $22,000 a year, I think the taxpayers would like to know making another recommendation.
No, he was licensed by the state.
Level three?
It says master assessing officer level four. It says four.
A level four for 32, with all due respect, level three for 54, right?
That's one way of looking at it, yes. That's correct.
Absolutely is a way of looking at it, yes. Are they currently employed in the village or city of Flint Lake?
They were providing services in the Grand Rapids area. They listed Sparta and Tyrone Townships and Kent County as well as some other organizations that they worked for at that time.
Hmm. And Kent County, those jurisdictions were not happy with the service they were receiving?
Based on the information that we received from the Equalization Department and the responsiveness of their proposal, we did not pursue them further. So I guess it's
kind of vague.
Well, I'm not trying to speak about another firm mm-hmm. with regards to.
Well, let's speak factually. If
okay.
we speak factually, then there's no issues, right?
Shouldn't be. The recommendation that we had from the Equalization Department that they were aware of issues with this firm that okay. they didn't think was a good. Fit. Mm-hmm. They may have the
ethical issues, perhaps.
they didn't get into the specificity with me.
Okay. That was unanimous decision?
Yes.
Everybody involved?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you understand why we had to bring this up. I mean, that's $22,000 a year. And for level four, I need to be able to explain to taxpayers when somebody finds out and says, why did we spend this much more? You know.
And I think you also have to take a look at all the proposals we received.
Right.
And that was the only one, I mean, there was one that didn't give us any prices whatsoever.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And this one that was kind of a, it was an outlier out with regards to the proposals. The other four proposals, their prices were all pretty comparable to each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I see it's definitely an anomaly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the response we got, we thought was pretty non-responsive with regards to it. It was the lightest and vaguest. And when we started hearing the negative things from the Equalization Department, that just kind of set up red flags. And,
potentially putting our citizens at risk for issues if we had contracted with that thing. Potential? Possible?
I mean, there's a potential with any firm, but it seemed like there had been more of a track record in that area before.
Okay. All right. Moving on then. Thank you. I do have a question for either you or Deborah. What happens if the law changes and says you must now have a level four assessor for this multi-jurisdictional scenario? If that happens, what are our contingencies at that moment in time? And it may never happen, but let's plan for the possibilities, and what is our contingencies?
That isn't a contingency I've anticipated.
Oh. Currently, should we have that in our contract?
Currently, we're... No, because I mean, I don't believe so. Currently, we're a level two.
Right.
If we needed to and the state changed the criteria, we could go back on our own, not have a joint contract with the other communities, and probably stay with a level three if we needed to. Level four is...
Right.
The likelihood of what you're proposing is so remote that it could happen. I don't want to deny that it could. But again, those are used for basically county assessing, and not even all counties qualify for require a level four.
Right. Currently, yes.
The state, in my discussions with the equalization director from Grand Traverse County, we talked about some of the challenges that the state has come up with people even trying to become level threes or level fours. And to think that they would try and mandate that everybody go up to a level four for our size, I think that'd be a politically unsustainable position at this point. So I would put the prospect of that very low. I guess if we did have to have a contingency with regards to it, I would think that the quickest and easiest one would be to dissolve our union with the other two communities, which are basically taking us up with regards to an assessing level of three versus two. We talked about in our group about whether we wanted to even consider level two assessors. But we all felt much more comfortable with level threes. For any standpoint, because we do have some complex issues in our communities, especially when you start looking at some of the commercial and industrial properties that we have. So that's where we thought, especially with Deborah and her dealings with communities like Traverse City, mm-hmm. where they've got something there, whether it's commercial, industrial, residential, TIF districts, things of that nature, they've already dealt with them there. So I think she's got experience in anything that we're likely to encounter here.
Yeah, I'm not doubting your qualification. I'm just
the
scenario that if that requirement changed during this 3-year term, is there language that allows us to opt out without penalty or financial exposure to say, well, you're going to have to pay out the rest of your contract? And that's my only question. I think we need to, that's only good business practice, I would think. Deborah, could you weigh in on this? Obviously, it's a remote scenario, but...
I'm making the assumption that you're going to work under the contract that the city of Charlevoix worked
and that has a 30-day out clause.
Okay.
For no reason.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I was, if you'd have said that, we probably could end that quite a while ago.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you. Yeah. Another question. Who is responsible for your ongoing licensing financial requirements if the state charges an annual fee and if the education requirements for the continued licensing, obviously those costs, is that something you're bearing on your own outside of the contract then?
Yeah, well, the company is.
Okay.
I'm to remain licensed and it's my cost.
Okay, so that we're not bearing the extra or sharing them with the other entities, okay. As an assessor for the Traverse City area, what did you have, would you say a small, medium, or a large amount of challenges to your assessments? That's also a gauge of what's going on in the community with regards to that.
Traverse City is quite challenging. We not only have most of the, I like to call them tools the state allows for economic development. We have brownfields, we have TIFs. We have brownfields inside of TIFs. We have brownfields inside of industrial parks that have IFTs. We have brownfields inside of Renaissance zones. We have just about every combination that you can come up with. And keeping it balanced was my job, and I did it. And so that I do have a great deal of experience in most aspects of assessing.
Okay. So there wasn't a tremendous amount of challenges to your...
Just little things.
Little, okay. All right. Obviously, you belong to a professional group and would commiserate with peers and probably tell you whether you're doing better or worse than what you're experiencing based on your job. So, okay. I think that is all the questions I have. Thank you. City manager has questions.
Kind of piggybacking on one of the questions you just asked.
Sure.
There, is one of the things that struck me was Deborah's response with regards to kind of what you just talked about, challenges.
Sure.
And her approach with regards to meeting with people and trying to work out the issues before it ever got to board review or a tax tribunal type of issue, and to try and handle a lot of the issues that might kind of be heading off to a tax tribunal to try and deal with them before we had to get attorneys involved on it, which could be a potential cost savings as well. So the approach that she enunciated to us during our interview process, I thought there might be some potentials for savings there with regards to trying resolve issues before they just got escalated and just took, you know, kind of took on a life of their own.
Being proactive.
Exactly.
That. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you for that addendum.
Okay. I guess I would say that Ms. Chavez or Deborah has most definitely has experience and qualifications for this job. I support the recommendation.
I also support the city manager's recommendations, and I guess you started a lot of it.
I did.
You also support it, so I'll call for a motion.
I'll make a motion that the City Commission confirm the City Manager's appointment of Deborah Chavez as the City's Contractual Assessor, award a three-year agreement to DC Assessing Services of Traverse City at not to exceed annual amounts of $54,160, and $55,110, contingent of the final agreement by the City Attorney and the receipt of similar approvals from the Cities of East Jordan and Charlevoix, and authored the City Manager and City Clerk Treasurer to sign the recorded document.
I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Welcome aboard.
The next item that dovetails with this is the BSNA software. Consideration of the City Commission authorized the purchase of assessing software and to upgrade the tax administration software to the net version from TSA in the amount of $11,000, including training and installation
and to purchase server upgrades, installation from Markboard Technologies, at a cost of $757.90, and authorize the city manager to execute the documents. Are you handling that also, Mike, or is that...
City prepared the memo. The brief summary of it is we need to buy some software upgrades to basically replace stuff that the county has done at their level. We've had great success with BSNA from when we first started with it and when we expanded into the billing utility building. It's the gold standard of this type of software across the state. This is kind of just the cost of doing business for part of it. We do have a couple other small software purchases that we'll be doing outside of this approval, and like I mentioned before, have to buy a computer for the office here that'll be handling these records, and some office furniture as well. But the request before you today, I think, speaks for itself, or Cindy can answer any additional questions since you prepared it.
Cindy, do you have any comments?
Nothing additional to add.
Okay. Department heads? Okay. Citizens' comments? Okay, we'll move to commission discussion. Gene, you want to start?
I have no questions on it, but correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is one of the things that has to be provided by the city for DC.
Correct. Each of the communities will be buying this software for themselves. In the case that we did have to execute that 30-day out option, we will still have all the data. It will still be here for whoever comes next.
That's the only thing.
Derek?
What was their initial price point for the software upgrades? What was their initial offering?
Initial?
On the price that you're... That was the initial quote?
That was the initial quote.
And did we try to work on that a little bit to get them to bring it down?
They
other
added
than the joint discount?
They added that was the only thing that they added. I've asked a couple of times. I've gone back to them a couple of times, and that's what you get.
I love the software vendors. Mm-hmm. Are you currently running a .NET version, or is that this the transition
I'm running,
from
I'm running the... accounting software that all interfaces with it on the .NET version.
Right.
My tax administration system now is currently on a Pervasive system. They speak, but they don't speak
right.
Well. But they do speak. But because the assessing will be on a .NET,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty important to be cohesive all the way through. I know one of the issues, I would have been able to print my own tax bills, but because I was still running on the Pervasive system, wasn't going to work very well for me. So, and I do run into a couple times a month, I'll run into occasional issues when I'm upgrading something on .NET, and then something over on Pervasive doesn't update, and so I have to call, you know, get some help in making them all speak. It doesn't take long, it is just time consuming. So this provides a cohesive, reliable system.
I concur with the .NET upgrade. I know exactly what you're going through, and it's definitely the way to go. It's a universal standard now. So, okay, that's all I have.
All right.
Yeah, it was basically what I was going to ask about is with all three communities, each community has to provide the same thing, basically. So,
they each have to provide the same assessing software, and then they have the tax administration software everyone in the county has. BSNA tax assessing, and I think I was the only one left on Pervasive.
Oh, okay. All right, and then do you anticipate any future updates in the next 3 years, or is this pretty much going to carry us for the 3 years?
Yeah, the only updates that have happened with BSNA, and I've had them for my accounting software since 2000, well, it's been almost 3 years is when I was running my payroll on a DOS system before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get updates probably once or twice a month that are just included. If it's anything huge that mm-hmm. I have to do, they'll give me a quote on something specific that they want me to write, but normally it's something that if you have an idea and they say, yeah, this will work, they'll do it on their mm-hmm. own anyway.
Okay.
So that's...
So you don't really anticipate any major
costs
after this initial amount?
No, I do not.
Okay.
Anything else, Laura?
No, I think that's it.
I'm all set.
I also support this proposal and call for a motion.
I'll move to authorize the purchase of assessing software and to upgrade the tax administration software to the .NET version from BSNA software in amount of $11,000 including training and installation, and to purchase server upgrades and installation from Marco Technologies LLC at a cost of $757.90, and authorize the city manager to execute the documents.
A second.
Roll call.
Town?
Aye.
Gaynard?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, next item for new business tonight is the Hanna Street bid awards. Consideration that the City Commission approve awarding the bid for Hanna Street reconstruction to the low bidder Tri-County Excavating for the amount of $405,960.30, and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents. So, Andy?
Thank you, Mayor. You should have my marijuana matter as well as some information from Mary Fox, C2AE. Originally, we estimated this project to come in, we thought, at about $396,500. The low bid from Tri-County came in at $405,960. You know, as we have been doing in the past, we feel there's contingencies within the project with estimated quantities that will keep us closer to our original number than to the estimated cost. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I also built in some contingency in my area of the budget to cover any potential overrun, so I believe we have that definitely covered as well. Any questions? I'll try to answer them. Also, Amanda Pointer from C3 is here to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. And your name, ma'am?
Amanda.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to add to this proposal?
I don't have anything to add, really, except that I'm happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me. Larry passed on his apologies that he couldn't be here tonight. But yes, I was involved with the design of the project, so I am familiar with it. And Andy alluded to the fact that Tri-County Excavating is the low bidder. We did only receive two bids for this project, which was a little surprising and disappointing. Mm-hmm. Usually we see quite a bit more interest in projects here in Boyne City. But we did try and drum up some additional interest in it during bidding, and the information we received from contractors was just that they were busy. They had picked up some work for the fall and just didn't have the time in their schedules to be able to bid this. So with that, if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them.
Thank you, Amanda.
You're welcome.
All right, Mike?
Kind of a tag to that issue as well is one of the questions that I asked C2AE to investigate for us was, would there have been an advantage to us to basically reject these bids and rebid them again in the spring? And they basically indicated that no, they checked on it. They've had some concerns with regards to increasing petroleum-based product prices. And they did not see that there would be a real clear potential savings in doing so. So we looked at these options that we had. Even though the price in Tri-County is a little bit higher than we anticipated, we still think we can handle it within our budgets this year.
Okay. Do we have any department heads that wish to make a comment? Citizen comments? Commissioners? Tom?
We had a discussion 2 weeks ago on Park Street about the contingency fund. Can you clarify that again for me, please?
As far as
it's added in, you said?
Right, our original construction estimates that we used to budget from was for the $396,000 amount. That included what we thought the price would be plus typically a 3 to 7% contingency. So we weren't, I guess we weren't too far off. And there's been so many changes in prices with, you know, issues with crude oil prices, driving the price of pipe, driving the price of asphalt, the price of wire, you know, like the coatings on the wire, the copper. It's just been kind of a crazy year. I did budget extra in my fund to cover an extra contingency.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
Correct. So, I mean, unfortunately, this year the pricing has been very, very strange from contract, you know, from contractors and suppliers. Usually, we're, our estimates are over quite a bit from what the bids actually come in. And this is the first year since I've been here that that has not happened. And I feel strongly that it has to do with market conditions currently, you know, volatility of pricing for supply because of the way the facility is made.
Thank you. I have nothing further at this point.
Jane? Well, with the possibility and the increase in asphalt, again, I believe we should move forward with this project before there is another increase.
Derek?
Thank you. Well, I would love to engage in another lengthy dissertation on the contingency matter on the Park Street project. I think we're pretty well set. We've got soil boring, so you guys have got a pretty good idea what you may run into on the project. So I think we move ahead right now versus waiting. I don't think that, I think the risk outweighs the potential rewards. So.
Yeah, I'm just one question, I guess, and refresh my memory. What other projects has Team Elmer's done?
You mean Tri-County?
Or Tri-County, rather.
They did some work for us on Park Street, or on Front Street, rather, and I believe they also did the State Street project, if I'm not mistaken. That was before I was involved in street construction, but I think they did State Street for us, too.
I remember the name being around, but I was just wondering which streets they had done before for us.
I know they did do one Front Street project.
Okay. And that was acceptable and done well and all that. Okay.
I would have stated otherwise.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. And any start date idea? Guesstimate?
Not that. We get the
idea.
But this... this fall.
If they're approved, yes, it will be this fall. Yep. We'll schedule a pre-construction meeting with them upon your notice of award, and then I would anticipate that construction would start by early September.
And then be finished by?
I think we gave them 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious about the time framing of that. Okay.
Should be by the end of October at least.
All right. Okay.
I also support the recommendation and will call for a motion.
I move the City Commission approves awarding the bid for Hannah Street reconstruction to the low bidder, Tri-County Excavating, for the amount of $405,960.30, and authorize the City Manager to sign the required documents.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Gaylord.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda tonight is the Lumac light purchase. Consideration the City Commission approve the purchase of 15 Lumac streetscape lights from the Dynamic Group for an amount of $42,775 and authorize the City Manager to sign the required documents. And again, Andy, will you do the summary for us, please?
Yeah, I'll be very brief here. Again, these are our city standard lights that we use in the downtown district, the Lumac decorative fixtures. Unfortunately, you know, I don't know if it's unfortunate or not, but we're locked into purchasing these through the Dynamic Group. They have a control area that they can sell in different regions of the country. There's different groups that can sell those. We're really happy with these fixtures. They've been great fixtures, very well designed, very durable. As you can see, there's a we're doing a purchase more than we need for just the Park Street project here. We get a better price, A, by volume, and B, every time we order a fixture, if we did it independently, we have to pay $1,000 custom color charge. So we always try to group as many projects together as we can to purchase all in one shot. So this price actually has been held. They had a price increase in June, and they agreed to hold this price for us. Come and find out from our sales rep that she's able to keep the price before the price went up. Or since they've been this before the price went up, the company agreed to let us keep that price. So it's my recommendation we definitely get these for the Park Street project and a couple other things that we'd like to do.
Thank you, Andy. Any staff comments? Citizens' comments? Fine.
How far are we going with these lights? I mean, I see them all the way up at my house, you know, on Boyne Avenue. Are we covering the whole town on the outskirts, all the way down to Vision, and same way on the north side of town, and all around State Street? How far? Where do we put us off?
There are no firm plans with regards to exactly where they're going to go. There has been some discussion about maybe putting a couple of them at the entrances to the industrial park as you're coming into town, to try and have them at key locations where people come in to try and tie the impression of the town together. There's been some discussion with regards to, you know, actually, you're going to see them starting to take place here on Lake Street as well. Three lights that are going to be going in across the street at Bay Winds that they're paying for were part of the approved site plan. And I think the long-term vision is along Lake Street here out to probably at least Glens, that there might be lights on one side of the street to try and tie that and replace those wooden poles with the overhead wires. There's nothing firm on that. That's kind of just a preliminary vision at this point. But they have been extended to various locations to try and tie common theme with regards to the lighting throughout town. So it all feels like one town.
Mm-hmm. Tom?
And to clarify, when you add one of these, hopefully you eliminate the overhead.
Correct.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I read this somewhere, but how many extra are you getting?
Three spares for okay. Keep on hand. Yes,
I'm in support.
Laura?
I guess maybe a clarification here. Didn't Main Street also purchase some of those lights that went in, like the ones on Division? Didn't the Main Street put the bill on some of the lights? I thought they did on the Division Street, and I thought they did on the State Street, but I may be mistaken.
I think those are part of either the Division Street project or like the Waterworks building projects, as well as some of those. Those are outside the DDA district.
Yeah.
So I don't think they do.
I thought they did support some of the purchase of some of the lights.
I'd have to go back and double check. I don't recall that to be the case.
Okay. Or maybe they were looking into doing that. Maybe they never did. But it seems to be in the back of my mind somewhere.
I know they've provided some of the banners that have gone on some of those lights at different locations, or worked with the holiday decorations, like at the Division Street entrance and up there on all the ones on Division Street to try and tie those.
I think generally, just speaking for the feedback I get from citizens in the community, that they really like those lights kind of spread out around the downtown area. It just kind of makes it more amiable and friendly feeling. They like the light from them. And the way they are, the looks of them. But I guess the other question I have, maybe you can answer it, Mike, is the Bay Winds are reimbursing the city for three of the fixtures of the 15. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. As part of their site plan, they were to have three lights on the perimeter of their, out on, in the road right of way.
Okay.
For that. That'll hopefully start to replace some of those lights.
All right, and that's just whatever the cost per light is, basically.
That is correct.
Okay. And they're paying for the installation and all of that?
Yes, they're responsible for that.
Okay. All right. Is there any cost savings electrically, like power-wise for the energy that those lights use versus like overhead lights on the poles or?
With each of our projects, we're getting a little bit more sophisticated with it. You started seeing it on the Old City Park project, where where the savings really start potentially coming in.
Okay.
Is with regards to us being able to dial down those lights at night.
Okay.
We turn off a good number of those fixtures, like around 2 or 3 in the morning, so we don't have to have all the lights burning all the time. That'll be happening again with this.
With this.
The Park Street project as well. And as we go forward, we're trying to, you know, make that so we can, one, we're working with the wattages of these lights. In the past, we've used 100-watt fixtures. As these are being proposed at 70 watts to try and dim it down so we don't need excess light out there and also save energy on that as well, too.
Okay.
We're still exploring the options with regards to LED lights and things of that nature. But that's still real preliminary. We couldn't get these light poles without these light components in them at this point. So we're getting them now. We're trying to do the continued research on that and see if there's a price point at some point where it makes sense to transfer to LEDs, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
But this should be a cost savings over time.
Yes,
okay.
I believe so.
Right.
And I should also mention, we used to have these lights ordered as part of the contractor's work. So like when we hired some of these firms to do the work, they would order them as part of the project, like they would other castings and things like that. We order them directly so we don't get any of that middleman markup on them as well. And again, we're able to save, like Andy mentioned before, by consolidating orders, get away from that $1,000 charge on for each order that they give you, whether it's one light or 32 lights or whatever the number might be. So
okay, so what happens to the existing lights that are on Park Street? Are those still used then when they do this project, or what happens with those?
There aren't any existing decorative lights on Park Street that will be removed. The only existing lights that are on Park Street are at the intersection with Main Street, and those are the same style that we're using, so those will just stay there.
Okay. I was
But we're extending this up to, kind of going back to Ron's point, out to the churches at Pine Street intersection. That'll be the furthest that it goes up the hill at that point. Until you get all the way up by the Luxembourg facility at Division.
All right.
But there will be some additional ones going in there from the Water Street intersection going south.
Okay.
But we space those out too. It's not as intense as it was at some of the other locations.
All right. Okay. That answers my questions.
Okay. Derek?
Thank you. How many of the 15 are, you refresh my memory, Andy, dedicated directly to the Park Street project?
Nine.
Okay.
Should be nine, yeah.
All right. But the math said nine. I just wanted to make sure that that's exactly what was currently in the plans. Laura kind of touched on it, and I'm going to continue on in a little bit, probably a different direction. That's regards to Main Street. That project is within the DDA. Is there anything preventing the Main Street from paying for those light poles as part of the project versus taking it out of the general fund? They have plenty of money, so the question is there a reason why they couldn't? That's what the tax money is collected for, is for these type of improvements.
Correct. And some of these funds are coming out of the Main Street Fund to pay for these fixtures as well. They are, most of the streets to gate improvements for this project are coming out of Main Street funds. So,
how about the nine lights?
I'd have to double check on that, but I know when we break down the costs that go to the different components, Main Street is generally responsible for all the streetscape improvements that we do in the project. So like the brick pavers and things of that nature.
I'm confused why it's in front of us to spend 40-some thousand if they could pay for nine of them. Has the board even discussed that?
It's before you today the same reason the whole project was before you previously. Okay. Is because this is all being, it's all budgeted through the city's budgets. Most of this work is coming out of the major street fund, if I believe, and we've got contributions coming in from other areas such as the Main Street Fund to help pay for that.
Do we have an itemized breakdown on what they would be contributing?
I can provide that, yes.
Okay. So if a citizen asks, I can tell them that at the end of the day, those nine lights will come from the tax revenue generated within the DDA, not the general fund.
I believe that to be a correct statement.
Right. So
can I just say something real quick?
Yes.
Typically, Mr. Gitter, what Dan, me to myself too, when we get a project, like one of the downtown projects, we go through and we itemize, break out from the street fund, the water fund, the wastewater fund, and if it is a downtown project, what the DDA funds will need to contribute. So, I mean, I will get that information to Mike.
Okay.
And he'll make it available. And that is exactly what happened on this project.
Okay. I just wanted, if we authorize it, we're not saying that the 42,775, obviously other than the three that Bay Wind's going to reimburse, is directly out of the general fund, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Or in the three that are, there's three the additional three that are spare. So
right.
There's six total.
So we would, the three spare would come out of the general fund, Bay Wind's would pay for three, and then the DDA would pay for the other nine.
Correct. I mean, either the general fund or the street funds,
the street fund.
Which,
okay.
I mean, those are a mix of, you know,
right.
General funds and tax, gas and weight tax and things of that nature.
I know the taxation districts have been getting some public exposure recently, and reading some folks aren't real happy, so I think that we show where some of that money is directly going back into a visible improvement everybody sees, I think. A little bit easier. Let's see. And I kind of touch on what Mr. Crozier said. I kind of with him on the one area as far as this type of lighting you do generally associate with a downtown area of the city. And the branch, I understand, you know, to tie in, but, you know, generally it's when you get to the downtown that signifies that area and provides an additional illumination and ambiance for that area. So obviously within the DDA, you know, that would be an appropriate area for those. So beyond that, we'll have the further discussion.
But exactly.
Yeah, that's just my general feeling that those are generally in that type of locale. So okay, that's all I have. Thanks.
Gene?
I don't have any questions, but being the funds are available in this year's budget, I support the purchase.
I also support the purchase and would call for a motion.
I move the City Commission approve the purchase of 15 lumens streetscape lights from Dynamic Group for the amount of $42,775 and authorize the city manager to sign the required documents.
I have a second from someone.
A second.
Roll call.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Gaylor.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next item on the agenda is good of the order. Gene?
This weekend I was down here in the park and around. A citizen's concerned of boat trailers taking up spaces for public parking. Their take on is that maybe it should be looked at, that these boat trailers should be used in a designated area.
We're talking about parking out here at City
Hall. Yeah, well, I know it was busy this weekend, and probably people were looking for, you know, places to park, and there was boat trailers other than in the designated area. Well, anyway, that was their take on why they weren't using them.
Do you want me to address it?
The trailers that you see here in the north parking lot are for the boaters that have made reservations and are staying at the marina that have trailered their boat up here. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really make sense on the busy weekends to leave those trailers sitting at the launch. At the launch, that would take up a parking space for someone who wanted to come in and pay to launch their boat. If it filled up with trailers after they launched, there would be no place for them to park. It's not for anybody and everybody that comes up to put their trailer there. It's the trailers that are there, guests that are staying at the marina.
Thank you, Bob.
Derek?
Thank you. Just unfortunate that all the city commission members couldn't be present for the governor's appearance. That was unfortunate that we were not all included. That's all. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor looked good, though.
Well, I asked that question early on, and I found out that Wes was, City Hall didn't have anything to do with it, as far as the scheduling of the mayor's or the governor's appearance. And I was a little taken back about that, too. They wanted to limit it to a handful of people on the entourage, I guess, was the answer I got from Wes Dilworth, who was managing the event. Who's the Republican chairperson of the county. I know that doesn't sit well, but the way it is.
Apparently.
Yeah.
That's all right, thank you.
Well, I only have one little curious question. It's nice to have the status of being the second most beautiful lake in the U.S., and I think that's wonderful that we got it. I'm just curious how we ended up getting that designation. Does anybody know? I mean, is it
lots of bolts on USA Today, probably.
Is that about it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's
campaign
really
was done, I'm
that's,
sure.
That's really cool. I mean, that's really neat. There's a lot of beautiful lakes in this country that I've seen, but I know it's a really nice. I just wondered how many entries there were, how many, how that was all arrived at.
I was talking to Jim Bauman, who kind of communicated with us that issue was taking place and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And my understanding was that, I think it was sometime this week, they were supposed to be, they announced the results, but they hadn't put an article in the USA Today about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was supposed to be some article in the paper this week. I haven't seen it yet. But once we get it, I'll be glad to share that with the rest of the
I know Lake Tahoe was number one, and should be probably. I just thought it was really nice and really neat, but I've had a lot of people ask that question, and I can't answer it. So I was just curious.
Yeah. Okay. And it seems like that chamber newsletter really drove the process, and I'm not 100% sure of the traction it has, but I've heard 2,300 or 2,400 and it goes out to that many mm-hmm. respondents that have signed up for the chamber newsletter, and it's I think our chamber did an excellent job of driving the process forward and mm-hmm. getting the word out, through the internet and mm-hmm. Facebook and the city website and chamber website. So it's was a nice honor.
Yes, it was.
Anything else for good of the order? Okay, now it is 18 minutes after 9, and I'll call for adjournment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Gaylord.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Make sure you check your announcements.
Announcements.